Welcome, everyone, to this edition of Author Interviews with the Working Writers Coach. This is your host, Suzanne Larange, and today I'm going to be speaking to the author of The Pastor and the Private Eye, a new mystery that came out, I believe, in January, and his name is Tom Pine, T.H. Pine. Hi, Tom. How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm good. Now, you live in Florida as well. I'm here on the Treasure Coast. Aren't you down this way,
yes.
too?
Yes, in Fort Pierce.
Fort Pierce. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I'm in Jensen Beach. So you're really, really close. I didn't know you were that close. Well, this is interesting. Your book is a mystery, but before we get into the book itself, would you just tell listeners a little bit about your background and how you became an author and a writer?
Well, I started out as a child is usually a nice way to start. No, I always enjoyed writing. I don't know, the whole process fascinated me from as far back as I can remember. And I would, you know, scribble whatever entered my mind at the time. But as I got a little older, I got a little bit more organized, and I found I enjoyed the process of putting my thoughts on paper, organizing them, and sharing them with other people. I suppose that would apply to most writers. I can recall as a teenager, I wrote this little somewhat silly erotic piece involving an Indian princess. I don't know where I got that one. But my parents read it. I was totally mortified. But at least read it. So I would jot my stuff down, and I saved it diligently in files and so on. I would write it in longhand. This is back way before word processors. I wrote it out longhand, and then sometimes I wrote it a second time. And then when I was able to get a portable typewriter, I would typewrite a draft and then redo it. And I would file all the stuff when I figured it was good enough. And I never really considered getting published until I reached my 30s. I didn't feel I had anything really to contribute because I didn't have enough life experience. But when I got into my mid-30s, I started seriously considering getting published, and I sent a ton of short stories out to a science fiction publisher, Analog Science Fiction. I don't even know if they're still around, but they published all sorts of science fiction, and I would send my stuff in and get my rejection letters. But the editor there, Charlie Ryan, his name was, would give me good advice. He'd tell me where he thought my story was weak and where it needed to be edited and punched up and so on. And then I would read the next edition of Analog Science Fiction and see a story in there that the writer made all the same mistakes I did. I don't know what that was all about. But anyway, when I got a lot older, I put together a vampire trilogy. Vampires were really hot then, and they still are, it seems. And started out as a short story, and then I just kept writing these vignettes until I had a book. And then I found this publisher in Maryland. You're probably familiar with them, probably on the negative side, Publish America. Which said they were a publisher, but they're more of a vanity house than anything else. At least that's what I find out. But they put my first book out, and it was actually out there in the real world on the web, and they could order it from Amazon. I could get hard copies, and I actually had a hard copy of a book in my hand. This was in 2003 when I something published. And it was just a heady experience. Here I was, a published author, even though the publishing was a little dubious. Later, I took that story and had it republished by another publishing house. Unfortunately, one of the ladies who started it, was two women in London, Texas, one of them died, so that publisher folded. But they liked the book, and with editing, we put it out under their imprimatur. In the meantime, I sent a copy of this book that you mentioned, The Pastor and the Private Eye, which is actually the first of three mysteries now. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it got re-released. I re-edited, I added, tightened things up, got rid of some little problems in it, and republished it, you're right, in January with the new publisher, La Maison Publishing. The mm-hmm. founder, Janet Searson, she's a Vero Beach resident and a really great lady to work with. Seems I work mm-hmm. with a lot of late publishers. I don't know why that is, but hey, it's good. I'm enjoying the experience.
Yeah.
And
wow.
that particular manuscript, The Pastor and the Prior, I had put together because people told me, you know, I'm not into that vampire blood stuff. I like mysteries. And I thought, you know, maybe I should try my hand at a mystery because a lot of people seem to like mysteries. I heard that so many times. So I had a mm-hmm. little vignette I wrote about a pastor being put in the back of a police cruiser and they're reading him his Miranda rights. And I wrote some of the thoughts that he had in his mind at that moment. And it was only a couple of paragraphs, and I put it away for years. Dug it out, mm-hmm. and I said, let's see where this goes. And it became The Pastor and the Private Eye. And a publishing house up in Michigan, Sturgis, Michigan, who, again, I don't know what it is. I seem to have bad experiences with publishers in the fact that they end up going out of business. This woman that started another woman, she started the publishing house, Authors Inc. Books. Lorianne Blosser started it. She was a newspaper mm-hmm. person who wanted to start her own publishing house. And she read my manuscript, absolutely loved it. And she helped edit it. She gave it to her sister who read it and also helped with the editing. And we got the book out originally under Authors Inc. Books title. And it was out for a number of years until she, for health reasons, had to, a very small house, she had to let the house mm-hmm. Close because she couldn't maintain the schedule anymore because it's a lot of work working mm-hmm. With stuff. And so that's why I'm now with La Maison on this book.
Ah, okay. Well, give people a summary of the book because it's a mystery. It's a pretty dark mystery, though. You know, they're all kind of mysteries. There's cozy mysteries and just different kinds. And this one is a lot different from that. So just give us a little summary, if you would, so people kind of have an idea of what we're talking about today.
Certainly. I have a good friend who writes cozy mysteries, and she's very good at it. I'm looking forward to when her first book comes out. She's a member of a writer's group that I attend from time to time. But this mm-hmm. one is a darker one. The thought in my mind was I wanted to kind of show that because you live in the country, farm country, it isn't all Rebecca's mm-hmm. of Central Farm and Lassie Come Home and all of that. There can be some pretty weird stuff going on. And I based some of that on stuff I had read about some weird doings up in the country around the New Jersey, Pennsylvania area. And I knew of a very small town in the Altoona area of Pennsylvania where a friend of mine was had his first pastorate. Now, he didn't have this experience in the book, but I'd set it in that particular area and renamed the town. And in the story of this young pastor, it's his first pastorate, he gets accused of a rape murder. And everything's pointing to him, but the police don't really have enough evidence to put him away and really bring it to trial. And he can't convince them he didn't do it because so far, nobody else is a suspect. And this young woman detective in the Philadelphia area sees the case in the media, and thinks to herself, "I've been wanting to leave my firm that I'm working for now, doing routine detective work, you know, marital surveillance and that type of thing." And start my own firm, but I need a case that could really make me. And she thinks that if I can figure out what's going on with this pastor, it will allow me to have some credibility in the world as a detective, and I'll be able to choose my cases after that. So she goes to this little town and just knocks on the pastor's door out of the blue and says, "Look, I'm a detective from Philadelphia. I'm here to try to solve the case that's been plaguing you. if you'll let me. And they work out an arrangement for payment and everything. She would have done it for nothing, but the pastor insists he pay her something. He hasn't got a lot, but he'll pay her something. And she investigates the doings in this case. And it leads to some very dark things going on. Another aspect of the story, I wanted to write it from the perspective of the pastor, who is a Christian, and he's got a strong faith, and how he would deal with what's happening to him. Of course, our young detective here, Phylla Stevenson is her name, she doesn't have any particular religious persuasion. She's had a very bad childhood, and she kind of crosses swords with him at times over his faith. And during the course of the case, she starts to take him more seriously. He starts to take her more seriously, and who knows what romantic things will develop as we go on.
Okay. Now, you know, when writing mysteries, particularly mysteries that are dark mysteries, and you've got, you know, a lot of crime and a big crime and thing that went on, I always wonder, what's the most difficult part of writing a book like that? Because did you have to do a lot of research to find out, you know, just how cases are handled, and or did you kind of already know that?
Well, as I put in my acknowledgement, we owe a lot. We writers owe a lot. I suppose we owe it to other writers, but we owe a lot to movies and TV, who give you a lot of procedural. And I used a lot of that in my forensic stuff. And I figure, hey, even if I'm not on target, neither are the people on TV, and I'm doing very much what they do on TV or in the movies. So people are going to say, oh, that sounds good. But I did some research.
You didn't ever run into, like, a, you know, sort of a problem where you're thinking, what would they have really done in this case? And then you had to research it. So it sounds like maybe you did.
Well, I did some online research into the police aspects of how a medical examiner will deal with a body, and what they look for, and how the procedures involved. So I wasn't really just shooting off the top of my head. I had some background, research background. I don't have any physical background into that. Mm-hmm. And the hardest part of writing it was the heinousness of the criminals. I find it very difficult writing these twisted people. Guys, some authors can do that, and they look into the mind of the deviant, and I find it very difficult. That was the hardest part of doing it. I had to kind of swallow hard and go forge ahead and write this stuff. But I also held back a bit. I didn't want to make it totally bizarre, you know?
Yeah, gosh. So then on the flip side, you know, you told us the most difficult part. What do you enjoy most now about being a published author?
Well, I suppose what I enjoy most about it is, as I go along, I'm getting better and better at what I do. And I enjoy hearing comments from various readers who say something like, I just had a reader say, I enjoy the way you tell the story with dialogue. And I've heard that a lot. People seem to have the impression, I guess from my style of writing, that I'm very good at dialogue. And they've actually made comments that my dialogue is realistic. And that gives me a great deal of satisfaction, because that's what I try for. I try to make it natural, so that when you're reading it, you're not saying, oh, come on, people don't actually talk like that, or people aren't really like that. So if a person thinks that the dialogue is good, that means they feel it's a natural give and take. Even though when you write dialogue, I get the impression you're a writer as well. When you write dialogue, don't actually write the way people talk, because if you did, it would be a lot of ums, ahs, and meandering that would be excruciating to read. So you edit a little bit when you do dialogue. Your dialogue is slightly altered to take out a lot of the tedious stuff, so that you're getting to the meat of the conversation. And you also basically, although I do put in intentional gaffes that for when a person talks, so that it won't sound completely edited, but you do edit it a little bit so that the dialogue makes sense going back and forth and it isn't confusing to the reader.
Yeah, gosh. So you said that you wrote this book several years ago and it's been released a couple of times. Do you remember what the writing process was like when you were working on the book? How long did it take you to write this, you know, complete manuscript? And what's your sort of daily writing process like? Do you write every day for hours on end, or how do you work?
I do write every day. I'm not like some people. I know some people say they'll dedicate 10 a.m. to noon, and then 1 p.m. to 3 to writing. I really don't set it up that way. Although I do find the morning is my most productive time to write. Although occasionally I'll be at the end of a day, I'm checking the last of my emails, I'm ready to go to bed, and I just let me look at this story, and I get in. The next thing you know, it's 2 in the morning, and I'm still writing.
Wow.
But,
that's often
because I'm caught up in other things and I didn't get to what I intended to do earlier. So I don't have a set thing, but I do try to write every day in various genres too. I mean, I do a couple of newsletters, a blog, and those kind of things, and it keeps your writing chops limber so that when you sit down to write, you're not at odds trying to figure out, well, what am I going to do, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So what are you working on right now? You said this is one of the series, so are you working on another book with these same characters?
Yes, I decided to do an ongoing. I always enjoy reading writers who, like a good example would be James Patterson with his Alex Cross series. He follows the text from story to story, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to progress, and once I established the relationships, continue on and on. So the second book takes place in the Miami area, and it's called Season of the Vigilante, and it's a case Scylla gets involved in unexpectedly. And then the third one is Night of the Chupacabra, which takes place up in the Orlando area, where Scylla investigates a cattle mutilation attributed to a chupacabra, which is the mythical goat sucker of Hispanic lore. But, of course, it isn't. It's something entirely different, but this is what she does going in. Currently, I was writing the fourth book, but I am up to about 460 pages, and I haven't any idea how to end it. So I put it on a shelf. I'm going to have to seriously edit that one. But I put it on a shelf for a while. And I was also, at the same time, working on two other stories in the mystery series. The fifth book, A Case of Identity, and a prequel called The Mystery of the Haunted Lighthouse. And right now I'm working on finishing The Mystery of the Haunted Lighthouse, and I'm working it. I'm reading excerpts to a writer's critique group I'm with. It's the Writer's Window Pane up in Vero Beach, and getting some good feedback in tightening the story up, and that will probably come out before the fourth book does. It'll be a prequel delving into the early life of our detective before she meets the pest.
Ah, okay. Gosh, that'll be interesting. Well, the book we've been talking about today is The Pastor and the Private Eye by T.H. Pine. And you have a website. The book is on Amazon.com, but tell us your website where people can go. And you've got a pretty good deal on the book, you said, autographed, that kind of thing. Where can they find that?
Okay, all the books that I have in print are on my website. Even the Vampire Trilogy is still on my website, even though it's out of print. It's no longer in print. But I'm decided to hang up my fangs. I'm not doing vampires for a while. But anyhow, if you go to www.thewordworker.com, that'll take you to my website. You can also use the Word Worker Shop, and that will take you to the same website, or Word Worker Shop. I figured if I had those three domains, no matter how anybody remembered it, they would get to the website. And once there, if you shoot me an email, I will autograph every copy of a book that you buy. I'll personalize it or however you want to do it. And I usually have a little a souvenir pen with the Miss Scylla Stevenson mysteries on it that I put in with the first purchase. And if you buy all three books, I throw in a free LED flashlight. I mean, what could be better, right? When was the last time James Patterson did that for you?
I don't know. Well, that's really cool. So everybody listening, go to thewordworker.com or thewordworkershop.com, and you can get on that good deal. Well, gosh, this has been fun. We are almost out of time, so I want to ask you one final question before I let you go, and that is, what's your best tip for aspiring authors?
You know, it's funny. I get that question an awful lot, especially if I'm at a book signing, or I'm also with the Treasure Coast Writers Guild, and they sell books at various venues. And people ask me that all the time. I'm thinking of writing a book. What kind of advice could you give me for that? Well, you can attend all the writers' symposiums and conferences and everything you want. Read all the books on writing you want. That's good. I'm not saying it isn't. But the way to get to be a good writer is to write and pay attention to what you're writing and learn. Listen to editing. A lot of people consider editors Satan incarnated. But it's not. Editors are not. Editors are essential because they show you where you need to strengthen your writing. Join a critique group and bring some of your stuff, and you'll quickly find where your writing may be weak, where it's strong. You'll get feedback in both areas. But basically, write, because if you don't, it's like any other thing, sports or whatever, if you don't practice music, if you don't practice, if you don't exercise, you don't strengthen those muscles, get that muscle memory going, that will help you to put something down in print that people will read and enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, good advice. That's great. Okay, well, thanks so much for being with me today, and best of luck with The Pastor and The Private Eye and all your other books, and take care. Thank you for listening to this edition of Author Interviews with the Working Writers Coach. For more author interviews, visit bestauthorinterviews.com. Each week, I interview a published author about his book, the writing process, and the business of writing. If you're a writer, join my mailing list now at morningnudge.com. And if you're a published author and you'd like to be a guest on my podcast to talk about your book, send an email to Suzanne@workingwriterscoach.com.